Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. Well, Mike Johnson's up to some skullduggery. I've always been very uneasy about this guy being the speaker, and I'm exceptionally uneasy because when it comes time to the counting of the electoral votes next January, if he's still the speaker, because remember, there'll be elections in November, and if we get the majority, Hakeem Jeffries will be the speaker, but if we don't get the majority, this guy will be, and that's a separate issue. But what he's doing right now is he has come out with the most extreme statement on the border issue, the most extreme statement that looks like he's trying to tank that bill and aid to Ukraine. Let me give you the background. James Lankford, the Oklahoma Republican, very conservative guy, negotiated a deal with Schumer, and obviously Biden had to sign off on it, that makes absolutely epical changes to border policy on our southern border. Makes it a lot more difficult to ask for asylum, to stay here while it's pending. It really eliminates a lot of the catch and release type stuff. There'll be more deportations, and we won't have a recurrence of the surge at the border we've seen in the last couple of months. And Biden himself said, when this passes, I will shut the border down. Now, when you say shut the border down, there's no president, including Trump, who shuts anything down. You have to let some trucks in and you search them and all that. But in terms of the swarm of people coming in. Well, here's what Mike Johnson said just now. And he is doing it because he's essentially being blackmailed by the MAGA caucus. In other words, the Freedom Caucus, the right-wing nuts, because any one of them could declare the chair vacant. He attacked Biden, not Lankford, not Schumer, Biden, for supporting the bill, which Lankford and the Democrats, and not just Lankford, but John Thune of South Dakota, the number two guy in the Senate, Mitch McConnell signed off on it, and then obviously Schumer and Chris Murphy and the rest of them signed off on it, and he attacks Biden. He attacks Biden, and he said, this is dead on arrival. Quote, any authority that allows even one, in capital, O-N-E, one, illegal is a non-starter, must be zero. Now, let's stop there for a minute. There is no border in the history of the world that had zero people coming in or out, including North Korea and China. If that is your standard, what you're saying is you don't want legislation at all. And what you want is Donald Trump to beat this issue for the next 6-8 months and hope that everybody forgets that there was legislation that would have addressed it and that Trump and the Republicans stopped. That's number one. That's what they're hoping. But what it means to me, and this is a contrast with something else I'm about to describe to you that he's doing that's more constructive. The tax bill, the child credit, $78 billion, child tax credit, that also would have given some deduction rights, which I think are good, to small business. And there he's putting a coalition together. He's not doing it for this one. And Ukraine ultimately will suffer. This has got to be resolved. We're going to the lines. Bill of Economwalk, my friend. Thanks for calling, Bill. What's in your mind today?
Great show as always, Matt. Say, Trump was trying to put his 2 cents in on the border. Do we really need 2 cents from a convicted sexual predator, convicted tax evader, convicted domestic terrorist, about to be, not completely, but that's happening, a two-time impeached president? Why do we need his 2 cents? Why don't you ask? I mean, you'd have to go to somebody like Charlie Manson to get that kind of credibility. if you want to call it credibility, I don't. I call it something else. But the bottom line is, how do people even give him the dignity of being recognized? He has none, zero, nada. And they worry about the border, and they don't worry about a sexual predator as commander-in-chief. You've got to be kidding me. Who's, you know, how did they say that? Forget some Wizard of Oz, hey, Shirley or whatever, is the same Kansas. You know, we got to wake up and say, enough of addressing this buffoon, not buffoon, criminal, this felon. He's a felon. We don't deal with felons. America has a lot more respectability and integrity and accountability to have a sexual predator as commander-in-chief. You've got to be kidding me. My dad would roll over in his grave. He was an officer during World War II. Nobody other than these flat-out crazy people believe in that. I'm listening to Republicans lately that are falling off the wagon quickly because they've just had enough of him. And the Buck and Clay show at noon, which replaced Rush Limbaugh, they're trying to defend the sexual predator. They actually try and defend him by saying America's totally against him. They're right on that. America's against Trump because he's against America. Thanks for the time, Matt, and have a wonderful evening.
Yeah, that's I couldn't put it better. But, you know, your predicate question, which was how is anybody paying attention to him, is fear. It's fear. What they're doing is he has caused death threats to go to people that made one congressman have to have his middle school daughter go to school with security, his middle school daughter. And others that were ready to impeach him said, I don't want to risk my wife and my daughter getting attacked. It is fear. This is very, very similar to Germany in the 30s, very, very similar to that. And the people who aren't afraid of being personally attacked, the fear of primary, and that he, look, because look what happened to Voss here in this state. Voss is the speaker. I don't agree with Voss, but he's the speaker in a gerrymandered legislature, and they come up with a guy in his district. Trump does. He doesn't like Voss, and the guy gets, I think, 49% of the vote. He's 29 years old. He'd never done anything. That made people scared because they want to hold on to their jobs. That's what's going on. There are very few Liz Cheney's, very few Adam Kinzinger's, very few Mitt Romney's, for that matter, who will stand up. Going back to the lines, Jean of Eau Claire, thanks for calling. Jean, what's in your mind today?
Thank you, Matt. Great show, as usual. You know, as they do the chaos and confusion at the border, and all of the representatives that are Republican from the state of Wisconsin continues to rally around this guy, as we face, on our side of the state, a catastrophic health emergency. And in our side of the state, 2 major hospitals, one in Chippewa and one in Eau Claire, are closing. And they will be closing by March 22nd. And at Sacred Heart and St. Joseph's Hospital. Along with that is a supportive clinic that worked with it. And that clinic had opened several clinics, like in Montovi and up north and in Eau Claire and in Chippewa, are all closing due to funding, due to COVID, due to these things that our legislators are so busy playing games with everybody's lives, calling out fires where there aren't fires, and don't attend to the business that impact the people. Now, a lot of these people now, the people that work there didn't even know this was closing. It was told us last week that these places were closing. Well, usually when you close down, you have quite a few months to change doctors or find another medical facility.
Right.
Well, this thing came out, and the people found out the same day, and we found out, and we did not get any letters or anything to people that were receiving services. And then our remaining medical people are now letting their patients know that you better get your appointments in because we're not going to have any room for quite a while. So everybody in our area who are receiving care, maybe chemo, maybe different types of health issues, have to find a doctor within a couple of months or even less than that. So this was a shock, and nobody knew why. None of our representatives were contacted. Nobody was contacted on this. And I thought, this is weird. So anyway, I want to bring that up because this is something that you would never think could happen, and it did on our side of the state. So wake up, folks. Thank you.
Gene, that's a great call. That's a cutting edge, one of the most important issues. And I think going back to Scott Walker, when he refused to take the $1 billion in Medicaid money. And now Trump has said he's going to get rid of the Affordable Care Act and replace it with something better. And he's never defined what that is. In other words, he's basically going to voucherize Medicare and he's going to privatize Social Security. There is an attack on medical funding in the country on the side of the Republican Party. The specifics of what you're describing is terrible. I have read about it. I don't have the same degree of knowledge of it that you do. But when you have two very fine institutions like that, can't make it financially. And I'll tell you, Joe Biden has been wonderful stepping up for medical funding wherever he can. But ultimately, that comes from the Congress. And when you have basically, I think, serial criminals, and I call them that, the Republican legislators, when they're in the majority, they shut everything down. And then when the deadline is 11:59 p.m. at night, about 5 o'clock that day, they grudgingly say, we'll limp it along for a couple of weeks or months. You can't plan that way. That's not a way to fund a government. And I'm very, very sad to hear what you said. I hope that, Tony Evers, I'm sure, will be supportive of you and Joe Biden will be. But it takes two to tango. And when you have the Republicans in charge of gerrymandered legislatures, it's a consistent fight. Thank you so much, Gene. We're going to step away for a minute and come back. I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. Do not hang up. Coming back, the Army of God now has made it to Louisiana. What's the Army of God? Coming back very soon.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now go right to the lines. I'll take you in order. Do not hang up. I will get to you. Mary of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Mary. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Matt. Thank you. I recently saw a slew of Trump supporters being interviewed outside one of his rallies. I don't know if people see that on YouTube or whatever. And the question they were asked is, would you rather have 4 years of Trump as a dictator or 4 years of Biden as your president? And all of them said 4 years of Trump as a dictator. We need a dictator. Americans need to get their ass kicked, et cetera, et cetera. One fellow who was obviously a senior said, we need to get rid of everything related to the New Deal. And it's like, all right. But there goes your Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid. I mean, on and on. And it's like the supporters standing outside these rallies appear to be, intelligent. But I just don't understand their logic of, oh, I'd rather have a dictator. America needs a dictator.
I didn't see that, Mary. Thank you very much for mentioning it. But a dictator, well, good luck. Go to Russia. Go to North Korea. Go to China. See how well you like it. Go to Venezuela. Everybody's trying to get out of those places and come here. And for an old fella to say, get rid of the New Deal, is he out of his mind? Is he like Social Security? What, is he independently wealthy? Is he out of his mind? Thanks a lot for calling, Mary. We're going to go on. Do not hang up. We'll get you in order. Mark from the SAC, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Mark?
Yeah, thanks so much for taking my call. It occurs to me, and this is going back to when your first issues that you're talking about. I wonder if any of the information that around me have gotten this hands on for information secreted away at Mar-a-Lago that Trump took out of the White House, if any of that information on our intelligence against Iran made its way into, you know, Iran's hands or Iran's allies, it got passed on to them, and that you know, revealing some of our security secrets that we have, if there are really any military secrets at all anymore. But I just have to wonder about that. If, you know, Trump just kind of gave away the store on some of that information.
And that's a terrific insight. Yeah, that's a terrific insight, because he had unguarded, like a storeroom and a bathroom, stuff lying around. And he did talk to somebody, a fundraiser, and said, look at this. This is our plans for invading Iran. Remember that? And he talked to an Australian billionaire and told them about how close we can get to a Chinese sub with our technology without their knowing it. And now China knows about that. I don't have any doubt that Iran and Saudi Arabia and China and Russia had busboys, waitresses, guests, you know, roaming around that place getting this stuff. And if he gets back in, he'll turn over information. He burned an Israeli undercover agent who'd penetrate Al-Qaeda. He told the Russians some information that could only have come from somebody in that inner circle, and Israel had to pull out its spy or the guy would have been killed. Trump is a Russian asset. He's a Russian agent. He's a traitor to the United States. Good call, Mark. Thank you. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind, Wisco Paul?
Well, thanks for taking my call, Matt. That's several awesome calls in a row there. It's hard to follow that, but that's what makes your show so great. You have intelligent callers bringing up really things we should know. As far as Genie goes, I think part of the problem might be up there in the Northwest. Part of the state is they didn't take the Medicaid money, and that was just totally stupid. But I'll just tie these two things into it. Number one, Evers, Governor Evers, vetoed the Republican gerrymandered maps because that's the thing to do. And also, the GOP congressional fellows, they're trying to get Judge Janet to recuse herself from the congressional district gerrymandering mess that is, too. So that's part of the problem, is not having fair maps. You don't have fair maps, these guys just go off on whatever they want to do. So I just thought I'd bring those two things up. Thanks for your show, Matt. Have a good day.
Yeah, Paul, thanks a lot. Those are great comments. And not so coincidentally, those are the topics of our upcoming segments in this show. So thank you very much, and I will be getting to them. Karina, Milwaukee, my friend, thanks for calling. Karina, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. You know what? I completely agree with you. People don't know what they're asking for. They don't know what the tyranny is. They don't know when they're not able to do what they are granted to do here and born with that, born a right. And this is silly to even think about, that there is something remotely close to tyranny should be even established or talk about in this country, because this country was established to be free, not under the tyranny. That, and another thing is, with the bathroom and the Mar-a-Lago, it feels like that wasn't a bathroom. It was a public library for everyone who willing to pay a membership.
Great. Those are great comments. And for those of you who don't know Karina, she shared with me on a previous call. She's from Moscow, Russia. And fortunately, she's with us here in the United States. And so for some clown on YouTube to say he wishes we had a dictatorship, Karina knows what that is. And that was very eloquent, Karina, exactly how you said that, that people apparently are taking for granted and don't know what they have here, and don't lightly just say you want a dictatorship. Thank you so much. Northwoods Terry, my friend, you're next. What's your mind, Northwoods Terry? Northwoods Terry, my friend.
Hello?
Yeah, Northwoods Terry, what's in your mind today, Terry?
Oh, sorry, Matt. I looked away for a second. Yeah. I want to follow up on that hospital closings. It's right.
Oh, yeah, tell me.
I'm in the Mayo system, so I'm not affected by it as of yet. But anyway, Matt, a friend of mine who's a pretty good Democrat normally made a comment to me the other day about what's Medicare reimbursement. I would beg to differ with him, but I didn't challenge him. But it's got to be what you were talking about earlier, Gene was talking about earlier, Medicaid reimbursements. Got to be different because they didn't take the
right.
Medicaid money. Expand right. Medicaid up to a higher income.
Right. Terry, that's an excellent comment. And remember, Walker turned it down $1 billion because he was running for president and he wanted to look like he didn't want welfare. Medicaid's not welfare. It's from the federal government. It wouldn't have cost us anything. And he turns it down, and other Republican governors turned it down, but he then tried to substitute our tax dollars for it. In other words, we got taxed twice. Our federal taxes, which he are the return to us, he rejected. They went to California, and then he taxed us again. The Republicans can't be trusted with money, and what they did on that was reprehensible. Coming up, Evers vetoes, as Wisco Paul said, the legislative maps. What happens next? Coming up.
Casey Becker.
It is going to be cloudy and drizzly with a few flurries possible at times here throughout the day today. Another dreary one with a high of 38, the wind northwest at 5 to 15. Gradual clearing tonight, 32. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a bit warmer with a high right around 43. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines, Adrian of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Adrian, what's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt, I'm a little perplexed at the people saying they want to live under a dictatorship. I can't help but wonder if they really know what happens under dictatorships. Take Augusto Pinochet, for example. When he took over with help of the state, overthrew the democratically elected government of Salvador Allende in 1973, Pinochet's secret police murdered thousands of people. Anyone who they thought opposed the Pinochet dictatorship got murdered. As a matter of fact, Pinochet was so extreme in his retribution that he sent hit squads of his secret police all around Europe and even the United States to kill people who were advocating against the Pinochet regime in those places. And of course, you'll recall Orlando Letelier that was speaking out against the Pinochet regime, and Pinochet sent a team of his secret police to the United States to plant a bomb in Letelier's car and blew it up. And I mean, the the examples of Hitler and Stalin are the most famous ones. Hitler, 6 million murdered, Stalin, 20 million murdered. But it goes on Pol Pot, 3 million murdered, the military dictatorship of Argentina in the 1970s, countless thousands, just rampant murders of anyone who opposes the regime. Is that really what we want to have?
Right. That's an excellent point. And, you know, Karina Milwaukee, speaking from having been from Moscow, you know, and that was the result of, I think, Mary Madison saying she'd seen a YouTube where these interviewees after a Trump rally said they wish he could be a dictator. Anyone who says that is either shooting their mouth off, but if they really mean that, they really are ignorant of history, ignorant. And Hitler is the worst example, and Stalin's a close second. But beyond that, you mentioned Pinochet. Well, Nicaragua right now, Cuba, if you live in a dictatorship, you have no privacy, you have no rights, you have no rule of law. The police can knock on your door at midnight and drag you out. They can beat you up. They can rape you. They can kill you. There's no rule of law. And so anyone who says that is ignorant. They always say it when they think, well, this dictator will be on my side and he'll beat somebody else up. It doesn't work out that way. It doesn't work out that way. Democracy is a very messy thing sometimes, but an essential thing. And Churchill's the guy that said, democracy is the worst possible kind of government, except for all the alternatives. And a dictatorship, an authoritarian, look around. Do you want to live in North Korea? Do you want to live in China? Do you want to live in Russia? Do you want to live in Venezuela or Nicaragua or Cuba? Do you want to live in these places? Do you want to live in Saudi Arabia? Do you want to live anywhere in the Middle East except for Israel? A dictatorship is antithetical to Western civilization and Western culture, and we're not going to put up with it in this country. Going back to the lines, Mike of Menominee Falls, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind today, Mike.
How you doing, Matt? Thanks, as always, for taking my call. Hey, I want to go back to your opening monologue, and I think it's important that your listeners understand that. In your opening monologue, you talk about we're going right to the front lines of history. We are going right to the front lines of history, Matt, in the worst invasion of a sovereign country that we've ever seen in our history. I'll read to you what it says here in the Constitution, and I would love to hear your feedback. It says sure. Here in the Constitution that the United States shall guarantee every state in the Union a Republican form of government and shall protect each of them against an invasion. I want you to tell me why you think that millions of undocumented illegal immigrants pouring into this country from all over the world is not an invasion, and why Secretary Mayorkas deserves to be impeached for his neglect of doing his job. And I can make an argument that the President of the United States needs to be too, because he should be defending the United States, and instead he's allowing this invasion to happen. So,
No, I'm glad you called, and I want to respond to that. Mike is a principal conservative, and I'm delighted that he calls every once in a while. Here's the deal. The part of the Constitution that Mike read is accurate. By the way, when they say Republican form of government, when that was used in the 18th century, that doesn't mean Republican Party or Democratic Party. The anomaly is that we in the United States are a democracy with a Republican form of government. Republic just means, if you read Plato's Republic, even though that didn't describe an actual classical republic, but it means there's no king. It means that we elect our leaders. It's a product of the Enlightenment in the 18th century, of Rousseau and Voltaire. It's a product of the idea that there's no king and that the people are in control, not an aristocracy. That's a republic. We are a republic. We're also a democracy. That doesn't mean we have to be ruled by Democrats because we're a democracy, or Republicans because we're a republic. We're both. Now, what Mike is referring to is, and especially as it was drafted in the 18th century, was that the United States will defend any state, And in those, you know, there were the 13 colonies, and then there were some more. Now we defend the United States against any invasion. Now, invasion is a term of art. Obviously, that means an armed invasion coming in, trying to take us over militarily and so on. What Mike's referring to, though, is a significant problem. We have many millions of people walking into the country contrary to our laws. In December, there was 300 and some odd thousand. If you multiply that by 12, that's 3.5 million or more. It's gone down in January. And the solution isn't just to say the soldier old man defense that they came in during Trump too, that Obama and Biden deported more people than Trump. I don't want to get into the name calling. The question is, what do we do about it? Now, let me tell you what they do about it in Saudi Arabia. When refugees come from Yemen, they machine gun them and kill them and leave their bodies there. And they pick out a few men and a few women and have them rape the women for their pleasure. In China, if somebody comes in from North Korea, they return them to be tortured. The North Koreans murder and torture anybody who tries to get out of the country. And the Chinese finger them. Nobody ever says that. Nobody ever says that. People don't know those kinds of things. The only countries that have humane immigration are the West, period, end of story. Now, with our immigration, the deal is people in international law, if they say, I seek asylum, you got to temporarily at least talk to them and make sure they need asylum. When 300,000 people a month coming in, you don't have time, then they get into the country and they never come back. These are not asylum seekers, in my opinion. These are economic immigrants, and I don't blame them. My great-great-grandparents were economic immigrants from Ireland. They just walked into New York in the 1870s, 1860s, and there was no immigration problem. But you can't let everybody in a country, our country, who simply wants to come here. There are 8 billion people in the world. 5 billion of them are not doing well economically. The solution is for us to keep our international presence and work with all these countries to better conditions in their country. But Mike, what I would pose back to you is, what is the solution? Should we machine gun them? No, that's Saudi Arabia. Should we throw them back into despotic regimes so they can be killed? No. Should we admit them and say, what the hell, and leave them here? No. So what do we do? There is a bill that is about to pass the Senate that's bipartisan. When I say bipartisan, I mean it. Some very, very conservative folks on the Republican side, James Lankford, John Thune, Mitch McConnell, all approve of it. If it were to pass, it would severely restrict asylum, not let people stay here. Biden could close the border right now because too many people are coming in and they can stay in Mexico or send the word out to Guatemala and Honduras and El Salvador, don't come here. That's the effect that it would have. If, on the other hand, that bill does not pass because Donald Trump says he wants this as an issue, he wants 300,000 people a month coming between now and November. He doesn't care. Well, I care. Biden cares. Lankford cares. Mitch McConnell cares. And John Thune care. So that, to me, is the best solution. The alternative is to what? Machine gun them? What, send them to North Korea? No, you can't do that. You can't humanely do that. But you can pass legislation that makes certain things unlawful so they don't just get a ticket and get released in the population, the so-called catch and release. So, Mike, I would strongly encourage you as a principled conservative to sit down with conservative friends and say, look, let's at least pass this bill right now. And then if we don't think it's enough, fine, we build on it. But when Mike Johnson today goes, if one illegal comes in, it's a torpedo deal. That's ridiculous. One? Are you kidding me? You can't veto, you can't do what I would call a pocket veto of this bill just to benefit one candidate. If Donald Trump has anything to say that's valuable, it's going to survive this issue. He can still make an issue of it. But for Pete's sake, let's do two things. Let's pass it and conjoin with it or aid to Ukraine to keep the Russians out. The Russians are bad. In case I have to remind everybody about this, the Russian government, not the people, the Russian government are bad. Putin is a dictator. He's a Stalin wannabe. That's bad. Does that get across? That's bad. We can stop him by spending about 5% of our defense budget with no risk to our troops. That's good. America is good. Putin is bad. I mean, what do I got to put this in ducks and bunnies for everybody? So this is what I have to say. Okay, Tony Evers just vetoed today the redrawn legislative maps. The Republicans were quite sneaky. What did they do? They said, okay, we'll use your maps, Tony. Tony put his own maps in, by the way. Just going to tweak them a little bit. Don't bother your pretty little head about it. Not that Tony has a pretty little head. Don't even look at it. Well, Tony looked at it, and it was super sneaky. What they did was they redrew the boundaries to keep their incumbents in and basically gerrymander it back with slightly different configurations. So Tony goes, no, I'm vetoing it. Now what happens? What happens, according to the Supreme Court opinion, it goes to the two experts that were hired. They'll look at this map. They'll look at Tony's map. They will look at the Democratic Party's map, the Republican Party's map, couple of other expert maps, then they will make a recommendation to the Supreme Court on which of the maps. And they can also redraw some of these maps. They can do that very quickly. Then what happens? The Supreme Court is the one.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the water.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open. 844-967-2789. Well, if at first you don't succeed, try again. And you ain't going to succeed this time either. They're trying to get rid of Janet Protasiewicz. The Republicans have put in a motion to make her recuse herself, this time on the congressional maps. Remember, the maps that we've been talking about are the Assembly and State Senate maps. Those are the maps. Those are the maps that were at issue and that I've been talking about. But there are congressional maps too. And the congressional maps up till now haven't been put into play. Well, Mark Elias, probably the greatest, one of the greatest election lawyers in the country. His firm has now filed a suit to get the Supreme Court to redo the congressional maps too. And Voss and his buddies, the Voss gang, the Voss posse, have gone to the Supreme Court to get her to recuse herself. Now, you might say, what, is he crazy? He already tried to get her to recuse herself from the Assembly and Senate maps. It didn't work, so why do it again? Well, the reason he's doing it again is to preserve an appeal issue. They are going to all of this. They're going to try to go to the U.S. Supreme Court and get the six tarantulas to, slip some chocolate for the, some sugar for the Republican Party. I personally don't think it's going to work because the redistricting in the Assembly and the State Senate has been entirely based on the Wisconsin Constitution. And by law, the U.S. Supreme Court should not interfere with the Wisconsin Constitution, unless it conflicts with the U.S. Constitution, which it does not. So are they going to take this congressional redistricting? I don't know. Is it late in the game? Not really, because the primary isn't till August. General election isn't until November. So there is time to do with this one what they did with the state legislative maps. There were five Wisconsin congressmen who signed on to this. Remember, there are 8 congressmen in Wisconsin. When I ran, there were 9, and just before I ran, there were 10. Now there are 8. We're down to 8. We're lucky to hold on to the 8th one, quite frankly. It's all based on population. But there are 2 Democrats, Pocan and Moore, and there's 6 Republicans. 5 of them signed on. 1 didn't. Who do you think that was? The Republican. Sneaky Derek Orden. Derek Orden knows he's in trouble in the 3rd District. Some very terrific candidates. He knows he is in jeopardy. He knows he tries to take a loaded gun through the metal detector at an Iowa airport. Doesn't care about the rules. Knows he went to the insurrection. Knows he hasn't done anything. More to the point, he hasn't done a damn thing. He doesn't know anything. And not only that, suddenly hospitals are closing in his district and he's not doing anything about it. And he strongly supported Walker, who got rid of $1 billion in Medicaid money. He doesn't care. But enough of a light bulb went on in his head to go, you know, if I sign on with all the Republicans to try to get a Supreme Court justice to recuse herself, and my district's involved, you know, that might not look good. So he chickened out. He chickened out. In fact, he did. One of the things he did during one of the speaker races, he was afraid to do that. So he went over to Israel to try to show solidarity, but no one knew when he was coming. He was roaming around and not accomplishing anything or doing anything. He's very weird. You know, to my friends in the 3rd District, you can do a lot better than this guy. You know, you had Ron Kind, you had Al Baldus, and you had some Republicans who were pretty good. You can do better than this guy. So he didn't go along with it. Now, what does Janet Porter say was going to say? Well, and I'll tell you what she said. And I thought it was a good statement. She said, if the law required me to, I would. The law doesn't require me to. I do not have a conflict. I'm not going to do it. She said that before. I think she'll say it again now. They're doing it purely, actually, for 2 reasons. One, to preserve an appeal issue. It won't do them any good. But the other one they're doing it for is to try to show off to their base, which is very pathetic. Their base wants them to impeach her. That ain't going to happen. She's not going to get impeached. The court itself wouldn't permit that. She's committed no crimes and no fraud in office. She's a very, very law-abiding, responsible, ethical, strictly by the book. They're crazy to try it. So now they're doing this thing. Going to the lines. Jack of Merrimack, my friend. Thanks for calling, Jack. What's in your mind today?
Well, I wanted to get something going back to the hospital closures up in the, what is it, northwestern part of the state. first of all, I'm trying to connect a few dots here, but this is my opinion for what it's worth. There was no Medicaid expansion allowed by the gerrymandered Republican legislature, and that meant that a large number of people in the state are going without medical insurance, essentially, and a lot of those people are in rural areas. So what happens? Well, they need to go to the hospital, don't they? But wait a minute. They can't afford to go to the hospital because they don't have any medical insurance. So now the hospitals have to close. So no matter what happens, those people are going to be out of luck in terms of finding a hospital. This is the no Medicaid funds, and the fact that they're not going to the hospital, that's a de facto death panel in itself, if you want to call it something like that. That's what it is, because these are people that are foregoing medical treatment because they can't afford it. And now it's a problem because the hospitals are closing. No, the problem is the legislature refusing to accept those right. Medicaid funds to begin with.
Right. You nailed it, Jack. You really nailed it. Excellent, excellent call. And I'm glad that Gina Beauclair called to set it all in motion. Coming to the end of the show, stand by for another great show, Devil's Advocate with Diamond Crute. Great callers today. Appreciate all the calls. Matt Flynn, directly back, same time, same place tomorrow. signing off for today.
The line it is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last, for the times they are a-changing.
Great show, Matt.
Good work, Calvin. Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you.
Yep, have a good night.
Same to you.